We are joined in the media center by our Pro Stock Motorcycle winner here at the 53rd Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator National. It's Karen Stoffer. Picked up the win in style by running the quickest run ever in the history of Pro Stock Motorcycle Racing. 11th career win. Not her first Gator Nationals victory either. Karen got to the final round going through Jimmy Underdahl, Eddie Krawick, Team Bike Jerry Savoy, and it was an all-ladies affair against Angie Smith in the final round. Certainly one of the quickest side-by-side races in the history of Pro Stock Motorcycle. Karen, walk us through this race day, and certainly has to be an amazing experience for you as a veteran racer.
You know, absolutely. I would say if I were walking through the race day, I'd have to take it back a few days, and that was when the rain started, and we didn't get any qualifying passes. So we came out of the box today and threw down a 668, which is hats off to Tim Kalungian and Jerry, obviously, as well as all the work that Keith and Harvey do. You know, they put that Ray Skelman bike out there out in front of everybody, and it was phenomenal. You know, everybody asked me, how did it feel? How was that pass? Did you know it was the fastest pass? And I said, well, it's really very smooth and very consistent. You know, the power is just very consistent through, and it's very smooth. And you know, when it's a very smooth pass, it's going to be fast. I certainly didn't know it was going to be a record pass, but it definitely felt like it was going to be a fast pass. So hats off to Tim and the team for helping me get that big St. Charles bike, Suzuki Extended Protection, with that big 668, and then backing it up with the 666, which was phenomenal. I think we could have got a little bit more out of it. I kind of bobbled that one a little bit, so we might have had a little bit more, but really excited.
All right, let's open it up to members of the media. Questions for our Pro Stock Motorcycle winner, Karen Stoffer, who, by the way, had made four straight final rounds, now has scored a victory.
John. Finally.
Karen, I mean, it probably goes without saying, this is one of the greatest weekends for a rider in class history. You know, four of the quickest five rounds ever, you know, into the 60s twice, and to do it here in Gainesville. What is that all, you know, have you been able to kind of like, you know, think about what all that means?
You know, honestly, I haven't. I probably will hit me as I head to the airport later on today and have a little downtime. It's been a lot of, it's been chaotic, but you know, really it is pretty phenomenal when I take a step back and I look at how we put the four valve in last year, and we went to three final rounds and I didn't earn it, was not able to capitalize on it and put that race coming out of group bike into the final, or with the wind line on in the final round. So, you know, coming here, I knew we had, you know, Tim said it's the same bike, there's a couple of tweaks to it, but you know, I think we should start out really good. I knew the conditions were really fantastic based off of the rain we had, and then the sun came out today. And you really, it was a tuner's race. You really had to get that track tuned correct, or you would have been up in smoke like a lot of the riders were, or you would get down the racetrack. And Tim's very good at figuring it out, and out of the box, it was on fire. Gainesville is kind of like my second home track. I know last year I would say Sonoma, because that's a Division 7 track. I'm from the West Coast, but Gainesville is really my second home. My first big team owner with Geico lived out here. We spent a lot of time out here. We spent a lot of time at this racetrack. I really feel comfortable here. We've won here now, that this is the third time. So it really means a lot. I guess the whole package today, it rained. We never got any qualifying. We came out of the box. We set records. And then we went to the final round. It's definitely a dream come true. And it's at one of my favorite tracks. So I think maybe as I head to the airport and take my flight home, they'll start absorbing in the momentous thing that we did. It was really a cool team effort, and it was huge for me.
Bobby Bennett, Competition Plus.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey. The last couple of years, last year we saw a resurgence of the Suzuki, and you have been diehard with the Suzuki for as long as I've known you. How important and how good does it feel to see Suzuki setting the pace now?
It's really kind of interesting that you ask that question. You walk out in the pits now and you see the big huge Suzuki display that they have on a manufacturer's row, and then you walk up the staging lanes and I take a step back, it looks like it was in the early 90s, because it was predominantly Suzukis and one V-twin, no Harleys out there, or excuse me, there was a Harley, I take that back, but that was kind of the days of the early 90s or mid 90s when it was pretty much dominated by Suzuki's. Then we saw a transition, we saw a change. It went over to the V-twins and it went to the Harleys. So, you know, it feels good. Like you say, I am a loyal person. I'm loyal to my team. I'm loyal to my brand. So, I'm glad to be able to see Suzuki back out here doing well. I think a lot of the teams have flipped over now, and I'm really proud. I'm really glad that it's come full circle. Now, if you look another 20 or 30 years down the road, it might go full circle again and be another manufacturer, but it's nice that Suzuki's back.
Dujanay Bland, SportsJourney.com. Your last six races of last season, you were one of the top five bikes in round win loss record. 10-6, you had that one win, you had three runner ups. But now you come in here, you're 4-0, you set record, you have this win. How does this make you feel going into the season? Does this give you a comfort level, and does this maybe help? What does this give you as far as what you think you can do this season as far as getting more of these wins and turning the runner ups into wins?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people were anticipating that, will the momentum carry over from last year to this year? And I think really this just kind of solidifies the fact that you can step off a record bike or a winning bike, going to three final rounds, and then wait a full off season, and then step back right back on and get back up there again. So it actually makes me feel really good. The engine program's working good. The training's working good with Tim. I'm riding well, and I feel good. Like, it's my home track, my second home track. I really love it here, so I'm very comfortable here, even with the weather conditions. I was very comfortable here. Every track's different, you never know, but I think leaving here, it's going to give us some good confidence. I feel very confident going into the season, absolutely.
Jack Rupella, Cycle Drag. Karen, I know you finished last season so hot, and you and I were speaking, and you thought maybe that was going to be your last season and you were going to walk away, and you told me your husband just would not let you. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's not that I want to walk away, but there's other life things going on that really you got to think about during the times we've had over the last couple of years. And I was considering, absolutely, maybe not stepping away from the Pro Stock Motorcycle Class or NHRA at all, but at least taking, maybe not running a full season, maybe just doing races here and there. And that was definitely my thought process going into or finishing up last year. But then, the sponsors got together with Gary and said, hey, she really did very well at the end of last season. So they said, let's go ahead and let's move forward with this. And it was a last minute decision. I had until January 1st in order to secure the war bike. And it was a December 31st phone call and decision that actually, produced it. So, a lot going on. I'm really excited about this year, but, ultimately, I wouldn't be out here racing if it wasn't for my husband, Gary. He's taught me racing way back in the day when we were young and dating and all that. And, it's parlayed into this wonderful career. It's what we do together all the time. And whether it's professional, NHRA, pro stock motorcycle, or whether it's divisional racing, sportsman racing, bracket racing, grudge racing on motorcycles, we do it all collectively. And I think that's kind of why we're out here together. And I think that's why it's so passionate for both of us is, and why he wanted me to be back out here and why the sponsors did. And I'm glad. Right now, I'm glad he made the decision. It was phenomenal. And maybe this was a sign from the good Lord saying, hey, yeah, it was the right decision to be out here. That's how I'm going to take it. But yeah, all thanks go to him because he's the one who, for some reason, way back in the day, saw something that said, hey, I think she'd be good at racing something. And here I am.
Karen, before we let you go, just a couple of quick notes on final qualifying. Bikes weren't in the lanes, there was an oil down, you guys had a meeting on the starting line. It seemed like a very democratic way to decide, kind of a break from past tradition. There would always be the feeling that maybe decisions like that were being made for you. And in this case, NHRA 2022, it seemed like the riders got together and made the call to not run.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that. Was that a good thing? Is that a new thing? Did you like the way you guys kind of worked it out yourselves?
Yeah, and I'm going to take it one step farther. I think it was actually a collective decision with NHRA and the riders. It wasn't just the riders getting together saying, hey, no, we're not going to do it. It was NHRA questioning and, we're thinking, okay, is this okay with you? We have a number, we have a methodology for the fuel and what they need and what they want from a safety standpoint, but we really don't have that with the Pro Stock bikes. So they were questioning things, and then they actually went down and were walking around the track, and they asked some of the veteran crew chiefs here and said, okay, you know, you're putting your vehicles out there, what's your decision on this? And they approached two or three veterans, and they said, you know, it's very unsafe right now, and I'm not going to put my bike down there. So I think that after that decision, they actually called all of the riders up and said, okay, your crew, we talked to the crew chiefs, this is the decision we're going, any feedback from you? And that was absolutely the way to go. And it actually spurred us to actually meet a little bit and try to come up with some sort of guideline or some methodology to help NHRA, because it is a very tricky situation with the conditions we had, with the weather, rain and weather we had, the cold temperatures. Then we had an oil down, and once you have an oil down, there's even more cold elements put on it with the drag and everything, and that cooled the track down even more. So even if the starting line was halfway decent, that doesn't mean the rest down the racetrack was decent. And we certainly talk about what we do is absolutely very risky, but there are conditions that make it even more so and make it even not worth going, because you're going to hurt somebody or break parts. And so I think as the Pro Stock motorcycles went through that, we actually decided that we're going to try and help NHRA come up, devise a methodology so that won't be necessarily such a tough decision. It'll be, okay, the weather's coming to this, what do you guys want to do? And it'll be a little bit easier. I think it was a good decision. I actually didn't say yes or no. I just went to the crew chief and said, it's your equipment, you make the call. And that's basically what you have to do. It's really not up to the driver as much as it is to the crew chief, or the collaboration between the driver and the crew chief.
Yeah, good call. I appreciate that. Finally, Gainesville is a track of milestones, 300 miles per hour, 260, 270. They become fewer and fewer as time goes on. This might have been the last major milestone in drag racing, the first Pro Stock motorcycle into the 60s. Have you considered that bit of history?
Yeah, no, I hadn't. And again, that's going to be that airplane ride home, I think, because I hadn't really sunk in. I think when I walked in the trailer, when I took my helmet off and put my leathers away, and I walked in the trailer, and Tim was standing there, and he just goes, do you realize it? Do you realize you were the first one, and you're forever going to be the first one to be in the 60s? And I went, you know, I've never been the first in anything. As many years as I've been with NHRA and been a card-carrying member for years and years back in the 80s, I've never been the first. I was not the first female. I was not the first in the sixes. I was not the first at 200. I was always somewhere in between. But it's really nice to know that we were able to cement something in, for as much passion we have for NHRA and as long as we've been out here. It's nice to know that we've been able to cement something in. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot more coming this year. The bikes are definitely going fast, but it's nice to be able to say we were the first. Props to the teams, actually. You know, props to Jerry and War and Tim and Harvey and everybody, Keith. It was really a collective effort. Somebody said there's no I in team, and that's very true.
Karen, thank you very much. Congratulations on your Gator Nationals
victory. Thank you.